Well, good morning. We are continuing my little mini series called Ordinary. Well, last night I did something out of the ordinary. At 9 o'clock last night, I did a 5K run. Silly man, why'd you do that? I am feeling the effects of that right now. So, being mindful of me today with it. But the title of the message today is Usable or Not. The definition for ordinary is not unusual or different in any way. So if I asked you to look at the person next to you and asked yourself this question, are they ordinary or not? Husbands, keep your quiet. You might not get in trouble that way. But do we look at people today with a pre-existing idea of what they are or what they are not? I look at people who maybe have a whole lot of earrings or a whole lot of tattoos, and do we come together with some type of expectation of what they are or who they can be? We all look at people in a unique way. Are these people we look at today like the people of the Bible, ordinary people, usable or not? We could say they are much like us today. They all had their faults, their own uniqueness, their own quirks, so to speak. But when I say harlot or prostitute, what would you say now? Some of you might have just cringed when I said that. If I say the name Rahab, what do you think now? Someone with a past. But today we're going to look at all of chapter 2 in Joshua. We're going to start with verses 1 through 7 today. There's so much information in this. Look at every word that is said. There's so much there that there's a story almost behind every word. So let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She had said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gates, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Rahab, this so-called unusable or usable person, is stated of who she is and what she's done. She had a lot going against her. She was a Canaanite, a woman without a husband. a business owner, so to speak. Prostitute was her label. But really, there's more to Rahab than just her label. If you read this whole story, I think she was perceptive, intelligent, well-informed, and believe it or not, had a fear of an almighty Lord. See, somewhere along the line, a seed of faith had been planted, a righteous fear of an almighty God, the Lord, Jehovah. And I say it this way about Rahab's. Rahab possessed a singular faith. I say it singular because she was the only one believing in that town. She received no instructions from her parents. She did not become a worshiper of Jehovah because her family had always done so, maybe like a lot of us who are in church. We were brought up that way. She had no prophet to listen to for instructions like they had for many years in the Old Testament. I say all this because we here have this to read daily and to put it in our minds of the Lord God Jehovah. To understand, to be encouraged in our daily journey of what we do and how we act. She was the first and only one to be called out of her race by grace, to walk alone in her faith. Think about that. Why did these spies go to Rahab? Might be a silly question, maybe. They were strangers. Foreigners trying to draw very little attention to themselves as much as possible, to be unnoticed, to go secretly into the town. Their mission was to go in and spy out the land. But as we read here shortly, fear has overtaken the city. Maybe the city officials have had orders to report anything that looked suspicious to the king. Or maybe just out of silliness or whatever, the spies were not discreet enough to be secret spies. The whole city was on edge. There was a fear of Israel that had taken over. Because they had heard of the battles on the east side of the Jordan River. Now Jericho was lying on the west side of the river in line in the path, the direction the Israelites were going. They were feeling threatened. But Rahab's life even changed more that day when God's people walked up to her door. Her faith began to grow stronger, I believe. These two men, when they entered the home of Rahab, might have come to a shock to them. She knew who they were. You can hear the knock on the door. She opens it. You can almost hear her say, "I was expecting you. Welcome." See, Rahab identified the spies for who they were and what they were. Maybe so, others figured it out also, and they told the king, and he finds out they're in the city. More fear has come in place. He sends a note with a message, which is kind of strange to me, a king sending her a message. She's commanded to send these men out that had entered her house. So what does she do? She hides them. Considered the lowest among her society. She deceives a king. She gives a very believable story meant to deceive the messenger. See, Rahab didn't deny that she entertained the men. She let them in her house. That could be considered entertainment to us today. She said they had left at dusk when it would be very difficult to see who was coming and going. See, they did not dare stop to search out her house, because if they did, the spies could get away. She understood also the lay of the land. If you had to cross over the Jordan, there was only a few places that you could go to get back across. So her story was pretty believable in a sense. But all reality is of her story is her first steps of faith was telling a few lies. But it was also putting that faith into action. Her act of faith in her own unique way was putting that little bit of faith she had into an action of telling a few lies. If you go back to verse 6, that word flax, it caught me off guard as I read it. See, the primary uses of flax in the biblical time was to make linen. The word linen means cloth from woven flax or made of flax. See, the linen was used as a burial cloth in the tombs of Egypt, the pharaohs. It was worn by the wealthy, the elite. This fine linen was a valuable commodity. So this may have been one of the reasons why Rahab had hidden them on the roof. That's what she did with it. But when those stacks of flax were woven into that fine linen, she could have had a source of wealth and income besides her title. But wonderful thing about Rahab, she was willing to risk it all. She was willing to give it up, the house, the linen income, even her life. Everything she had going on with that little bit of faith, she knew and believed, I bet, from the bottom of her heart, there was something better to come. She had hid the spies, covered them up. We cannot condone her lie like we tell our children we don't lie. But maybe in this case, we need to see that the lesser of evil for the greater good. When we stake a stand on our faith and for our faith, sometimes we may lose a friend for what we believe. Maybe a family member doesn't like or agree with what we stand for. But I believe it's a risk that we need to take, because we know from this there's a better place. It's in heaven. When we take a stand with our faith, the writer James mentions Rahab in James chapter 2, 25 through 26. James was talking about the faith that it was shown by action. Faith without works is dead. No matter what aspect of the faith we want to talk about Rahab, what she had, it was a beautiful illustration of faith, putting faith into action. See, her faith was not based on fear. It was based on, I know. Joshua 2:9 tells us, and it says, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. I know that the Lord. This ordinary, unusable, or not person, to say, I know that I know the Lord without a shadow of a doubt. I know that the Lord is. For someone who doesn't know much about the Lord to be able to say that, it's quite impressive faith to these two guys that she's met for the first time. When you know something is going to happen, you're not as fearful. We've all been there. We've all been in fearful situations. But why be fearful when she says, I know that the Lord, He's got it all. He has us covered. There is a relationship stated, it's not based on a fear. It's based on I know type relationship. We cannot be scared and don't melt away from the fear of the unknown, because tomorrow is a fearful day, because we don't know what it's bringing. But I can tell you right now, whatever we face, whatever we do, we have a God who has our back. It's based on, I know that the Lord will. I love it when I read this. She was the first and only one of her race called out by God's grace. A Canaanite. A Gentile. And who are we today? Gentiles. It started way, way back when this was brought to us. See, Rahab's faith was remarkable because of her knowledge was very, very simple. It was very small, her faith. But the food of her faith was also comparatively small. She had no inspired books to read from like we have, to be encouraged by. No friends. See, all that little information that she was getting to base her faith on was those little odds and ends that she had gathered together to talk at the marketplace, at the well, the gossip at outside the city gates of what was going on, of the people, what was to come. She'd even heard the story being told of 40 years before that, where this nation had come out of Egypt. The Egyptian king had been destroyed at the Red Sea by their God Jehovah. A 40-year-old story was still being told. Even today, there's a story being told of God's love and mercy and grace. It hasn't died either. See, that present fears of the weeks before they had heard about the kings, the Amorites, the king of Bashan, had all been overthrown in battles by the Israelites. And it was certain that they were on their way to take the city of Jericho. Because the God had been given, it had been given to them. See, all these reports that she had heard, all these things that she had been told, her faith was enough sufficient for her faith to rest upon. There was a God, Jehovah, coming. See, her declaration of faith, there's a real God, she says. There is a real God. Not the gods of Jericho, the sun and the moon that they worship. It was a God of Jehovah. That was her faith. Joshua 2:11 tells us, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage fails because of you. For the Lord your God is a God in heaven above and on the earth below. For somebody who did not know much about her faith, she sure was making it known to these two men. So I want you to think about that for a minute. I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. And I'll ask Brenda to put it up on the screen. Do I know that I know that there is a real God? Whether you're listening today, I'll ask you the same thing. Do you really know that there is a real God? It's based on I know that I know without a shadow of a doubt there is a real God. And I hope today that you can say that and you have said that now. But here is a lady who has given these spies a statement that they had heard from Moses in Deuteronomy 4:39, almost word for word. See, these two gentlemen had heard the knowledge and to take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. That's what they had heard from Moses. Now she's repeating this whole thing right back to them. There is a real God. What a declaration. Her courage, her strength, her strong convictions, on the other hand, were founded on a knowledge of a divine promise. This is proof of her knowledge of a true God, a faith in Him, and shows the heart of this young believer. Something was growing. Something was living in her. She might not have totally understood, but there was more truth coming of what was going to happen in her. She had a faith that maybe was much stronger than some of ours today. See, it also reminds me, and I like to pick on this guy quite a bit, but there was a declaration of courage and strength to a gentleman named Peter. He was asked a question, and he stated it this way: Thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God, spoken by and was declared by Peter. I know that I know that I know that I know that there is a real God. See, this story of this young lady was even spoken in Hebrews about her faith. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Many years later, she still remembered about her faith. See, Rahab feared the Lord more than the king of Jericho. We all will face challenges and fears in our faith walk with Christ. So take these words to heart that were given out by Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There's another wonderful thing about Rahab. She had a saving faith for others, the lost. No matter what we think of her, no matter what we think of her, ordinary, usable or not, this harlot or prostitute carried about her family. Joshua 2:12, 13 tells us, Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. She knows it's coming. But she loves her family. Whatever you say, she might not look like a good daughter, but I believe she was. With all her wrongs, she still loved her father and her mother. She was probably a good sister and desired her family to be saved. But I can imagine what she was trying to tell them. come to my house and stay, please. They might have said, Rahab, are you quite sure about this? Is it not all but a rumor that they're going to show? We live in a fortified city, we're safe. But somehow such was the influence that God gave her. Such was the power of her faith that they all remained in her house and her whole families were saved. So as I look around this room, I know there's some of you or many of you maybe on the outside listening today. This should be our strongest desire in our Christian walk, is for all to come to Christ. We all share concerns as Rahab about family members or friends who don't know Christ, who have walked away from this. So I encourage you today to keep on praying to God. Keep on putting it before Him. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Because we all want them to understand and live like God wants us to live. There's one other thing about Rahab, and I think more of the story we remember was that scarlet cord. I call it her test of faith. Verses 17 and 18 tell us, now the men said to her, this oath we made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you have let us down. Unless you have brought your father, mother, and brothers and all your family into your household. This is what she had to do. Whether she made that scarlet cord, it was sitting there before the gentleman went down the window. It's what they asked her to tie to the window. See, if you go back and look, this test of faith might have lasted for about 2 weeks before the Israelites showed up. Here's this cord, a scarlet cord, hanging out her window for everyone to see. I can imagine Rahab looks out her window every day to see what is coming. She puts her hand on the cord knowing that the angel of death is coming. Destruction is not far away. The Israelites are near. What she doesn't really realize just yet, but that scarlet cord represented the blood of the Passover lamb that was going to protect her. Then one day she looks out her window and sees the Israelites marching around as she looks out her window. For 7 days she watches them march around the window. I can imagine every day she goes up checking to make sure that the cord is tied to her window. I want to be safe. I want to be spared. I want my family to be spared and safe. But as we know how the story ends, Jericho was destroyed. But Rahab and her family survived. So today we really have talked about a lady of faith. An extraordinary, ordinary, usable lady. However you want to look at it, she answered the call many years ago, come follow me, come with me. She dropped it all to follow him. When we follow Jesus, I believe we're all blessed in some shape or form. For Rahab, there was the seen and the unseen. Sometime later, there was a man named Salmon, gladly called her wife. She started out a new life, a new identity with the Israelites. See, some of those unknown blessings we may never see in our lifetime. And one of them was Rahab. Rahab, the prostitute, the unusable, is listed in the Hall of Faith. Matthew, first chapter, verses 5 and 6, tells us a very unique story about this unusable, usable lady. If you don't realize that Rahab was the great-great-grandmother of King David. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, came through Rahab. This is listed in the genealogy of Jesus. So I asked you today, what are you doing with your faith? Are you putting that faith into action? Are you walking in the direction with your faith as Jesus wants you to do? There's so much we need to keep doing with our faith. I've heard people tell me, I have faith. I know Christ. But I will say it this way, if you don't put your faith into action, all you have is a word, faith. So I ask you to keep walking in faith. Keep moving forward with Christ. Keep going. And I'll ask you on they're listening on the outside, ask you to do the same thing. Keep moving forward in your faith. Put that trust into God. One of the interesting notes about Rahab, the story of Jericho was about destruction. But Rahab is about reconstruction. Maybe you are listening today outside and you don't know which way to turn. Maybe your life is turned upside down. You don't feel worthy enough. Please contact us here at the church. We'd love to be able to pray with you, help you, give you whatever assistance you need to let you know that you are usable and worthwhile to a God Almighty. I'll ask the praise team to come up at this time to be able to finish up with their doxology. Whether you think about yourself or not, ordinary or not, what you think about yourself, God will be able to use you, keep you, and give you a new title. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you that no matter where we're at in our walk in life, you take us as you are. Take care of us, Lord. Use us to your glory and to your kingdom, we pray. Amen.